My messages are usually delivered in a layperson type. I'm not a theologian. And there are some of you out there in the congregation that have forgotten more and know than I know about the verses in the scriptures. And I fully realize that. But like the old circuit riders of old that started our Methodist tradition, I take pride in coming up here and trying to give you a message from that viewpoint, more of a common man type of delivery. So we're not going to get a Bible-thumping, verse-toting message this morning. We're not going to get a message about a history anecdote, which I love to do, as you know. But we are going to get a message that Pastor Abel wanted me to deliver, and that's about volunteerism. Now, I don't want that word to scare you away by any stretch of the imagination. As you can see, we're here because we really feel that you're priceless as volunteers. The definition of a volunteer is one who gives a service or performs a task without pay or compensation. We here at the Springville First United Methodist Church are blessed to have so many able volunteers. If you could imagine a company of 300 to 400, maybe 500 people being run by just six paid personnel, which we have here at this church, it would be impossible to do. That's where the volunteers come in. There would be no church for Jesus if it wasn't for you volunteers. You are the backbones of this church and of every church and of every organization that need volunteers outside of our church. And that's part of us as being Methodists as well. It doesn't stop within these walls. It extends outside to the many organizations that need volunteers as well. You've served this church faithfully for hundreds upon hundreds of hours. I gave up trying to keep track of them. I certainly didn't try to figure it out what it would cost us if we had to pay for all the services that you all did. And thank you. And a little video shot certainly is not enough. But you know that the good Lord knows what you do. It's far more important than what I think or say. Some examples of our volunteers, and certainly not all of them, would be putting up tables and chairs for events, doing the coffee hour, cleaning up downstairs afterwards, the work in the kitchen, washing the dishes, preparing some of the meals and serving them. All done by volunteers. Sunday school teachers, both for the children and the adults that spend the time on Sunday and during the week preparing and giving their lessons. All done by volunteers. We're Methodists, so all committee heads and people on those committees, which are too numerous to mention here, are all staffed and done by volunteers. The organizers of our small groups and the people who attend them, volunteers. Greeters, ushers, the sound system people, the people that put the videos together, all done by volunteers. The outdoor landscaping people, the people that power wash the decks, volunteers. Plumbing, painting, electrical, and the ones that help out with cleaning, volunteers. The gentleman that prepared and put the lights back on for our cross that was off for so long, we're volunteers. The video setup done week after week for both services, done by one person, a volunteer. Our special music, volunteers. Worship leaders and lay servants are all volunteers. Hospitality team, the vision team, the drivers who bring the elderly to and forth from church and provide other transportation, both within this church and out, volunteers. The altar and decoration team, the newsletter and the bulletins, the money counters and the communion stewards. You guessed it, all volunteers, and on. A lot of those are behind the scene volunteers. It's easy to see those volunteers who stand up either as a worship leader or do music or the organ. You see those people up front, but there's a lot of behind the scenes volunteers. Sort of reminds me of an iceberg. It's a lot bigger beneath than it is on the top. In keeping with that frame of mind, remember that the Ark was built by volunteers. The Titanic was built by professionals. What you do as a volunteer is you give up one element that is priceless. And we can't pay you for that. We can't compensate you for that. Only a volunteer can do that. And that element is your time. There's no price on it because none of us know how much time we have. It is priceless, and that's what you give to us. But yet, with that being said, we still have a void. We're not perfect in this church or any church, except one, and that's the Lord's above. A recent survey showed that 28% of Americans volunteered last year. That's 64.3 million. But that's only one in four, roughly. That came to 7.9 billion hours. Roughly $179 billion in cash value. I tried to figure out what it would have cost us if we paid all our volunteers, and after about 10 minutes, that was enough of that foolishness. The rural areas like we live in volunteer the most, followed by the suburbs, and unfortunately, the cities have the least volunteers. Next week, we'll be having a meeting to address this void. And if you would like to help, we're asking that you attend. Doesn't mean you're going to volunteer. We just need some input. We need a little bit of help for this void that we have in our volunteerism. So please come with some ideas and join us next week at this meeting. It'll be between the services. If we care to continue on with these ministries, we must have your thoughts and concerns and your help. The ministries I'm talking about are basically our Sunday ministries, our greeters, our ushers. If we look in the back of this bulletin from 1972, Tom Law was an usher with four other people. Five ushers they had in 1972. I asked him if they were playing cards or something in the back, but forgive me, John Wesley, but five ushers. Now we get one. We need greeters. Going to a church without having a greeter kind of reminds me of the story, and I know you heard it, of the homeless man that was out in front of this huge, beautiful church in a downtown city, and he heard the music, and he went inside to listen, and the ushers come running up, and they said, "Well, what? You're not really appropriately dressed for this." And the man, not wanting to make a scene, said, "Well, I just want to come in and hear the music." And the usher said, "Well, I'll tell you, why don't you just step out the door, and we'll leave it open for you, and you can hear it." So he said, "Okay." So he did, but no sooner did he get out that door when the door slammed behind him. As he sat there dejected, all of a sudden he noticed a presence alongside him, and he looked over, and there was this guy dressed in a robe with a belt around him, long hair, sandals, and he said to him, "Carl, what's the matter?" And Carl said, "Well, I just wanted to go in and hear the music in this church and be a part of it. And they wouldn't let me in." It was at that point that Jesus looked at Carl and said, "Don't feel bad, Carl. I've been trying to get inside that church for the last 10 years, and they won't let me in either." So we certainly are not a church like that in Springville, that's for sure. A far cry from it. But we do and could use more greeters. I think we have between 78 and 80 families registered within our church. Just think, if we could get one a week to greet, one a week, you'd have to do it one time. And wouldn't it be kind of neat to greet if somebody was coming in from out of town, somebody that went to this church and wanted to see old friends and people? You could get them right at the door. You wouldn't have to be in the aisles doing it or wherever else you might want to congregate at that time, but Greet them right there in the front. It's so nice to be greeted to church. I think some of our best greeters are when the children did it. I remember they stood outside that door for our Children's Day sermon, and they said, "Welcome to our church. It is so good to see you." And you know what? I actually went through the library, came back, and went through for seconds, just like I do downstairs when I eat, because it was just tremendous to see that and to hear that. They thought I was crazy, but they might be right. What a great, great way, though, to volunteer. We also need volunteers in our sound booth back there. Sometimes we run very short on that. You'll get all the training that you could possibly need and learn a new trait. And if we get enough volunteers, you won't have to do it every single Sunday. I think that's people's fears. Well, oh boy, once I start, I'm not going to get out of it. I think the only person that had that problem, and it's not a problem, that's the wrong word to use. The only person that ran into that, I think, is our treasurer, who volunteered about 15 to 20 years ago, just a treasurer, and he's still treasuring to this day as a volunteer. But there are five myths that scare volunteers, and I want to go through them rather quickly with you. We will have this meeting next week. I don't want to let all the air out of the bag, so to speak. Not meaning that who's ever going to talk at the meeting is a bag full of air by any stretch of the imagination, but let me just touch basically on these. Think of any ministry that we do in this church, any ministry, one that you really value and that you really appreciate, and one that you would miss if it was gone. You thinking of one? Now think of all the people who volunteered to make that happen. If your name isn't on that list, how come? The first myth is, I'm not good at anything. When we think of volunteering at church, we often think, as I said before, the showy ministries, like the music and the giving of the messages and some of the things that you see up front. But believe me, it does not take a seminary graduate to be an extraordinary minister for the communion servants, or to be a worship leader, or, well, special music is different. I don't think you have to go to college, but you got to have something special. I know that, as Donna proved today. But there are so many aspects of volunteering at this church that you are good at. If reality television has taught us anything, America's Got Talent. Take the basket off your light. Let it shine. Second, they don't need my help. Believe me, this church has an amazingly efficient staff, plus a handful of dedicated volunteers as its greatest asset, but also its greatest threat. The problem is, where everything seems that it's handled so well, everybody thinks they don't need me. It's being taken care of. And new volunteers won't come forward because they think they're not needed. But rest assured, slowly and quietly, our volunteers turn over and our staff starts to burn out if you do too much by yourself. I can testify to you that there are some of our volunteers that you would think would be twins because they seem to be in two places at one time. That's what we have here. That's why we need more. Don't let them burn out, because if they burn out, everybody loses. This church loses. That volunteer loses. And we lose. Chip in. Do everybody a favor. Get involved, even when it seems like they could do without you. Third myth is, I don't have time. Well, simply saying that we don't have time to do something means it's not important to us. Simply, if we don't have time to do something, it's just not important to us. Fourth myth, I gave at the collection plate. Well, don't get me wrong, our church is exceedingly grateful for the financial offerings, especially in these economic times. But churches aren't built on money. They're built on people. The three T's, as the saying goes, time, talent, and treasure. Putting an envelope in the collection plate on Sunday is a good start. But if the money were all that anyone gave, we'd gather here each week in a beautiful building with a room full of strangers. We need to warm up to those other two T's, time and talent, and get our hands dirty. And the last myth, you can fill in the blank. I'm too blank to volunteer. When the bulletin on Sunday reads, volunteers needed, that means us. When the announcements from the pulpit include a call for help, that's us too. Volunteers aren't expected to be perfect. There's no requirement to be the strongest, the smartest, the best looking, the holiest, the most worthy. There's no requirement at all, but your time. As Jesus said when he called his disciples, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. That's us. And if that were qualification enough to be an apostle, it's probably more than enough to serve coffee and donuts Sunday morning. Some of the reasons to volunteer. You can ask my brother right off the top back there. He's a lonely usher. Family members are already doing it. Or a close friend is doing it, and you just have to get involved because of that. You may be bored, maybe feel guilty, maybe have a job skill we could use. You think it's socially, politically correct to volunteer. You volunteer because it's religious. You volunteer out of gratitude. You volunteer because we need you. You volunteer for self-worth and to help others. Number 10, you volunteer because you were asked, and that's part of the meeting. We want to know what we need to do to get a few more volunteers. We've done the bulletins, we've done the asking, we stood up here. We're still running just a little bit short. We need greeters, ushers, sound system, coffee hour, the Sunday ministries the most. What is a volunteer? Well, it's somebody that's valuable, somebody that's outstanding, somebody that's loyal, unique, nice, efficient, enthusiastic, somebody that's ready, somebody that's sensational, somebody that has good character, somebody with enthusiasm, somebody that's generous, somebody that's a Methodist. In closing, and that's usually where we get the biggest smile of the day up here is when you say in closing. Everybody just kind of, wow, that's neat. Instead of me up here harping away again, I just picked out some quotes from some other people. Everybody's input is important, not just mine. Lily Tomlin, the comedian, once said, somebody ought to do something about that. But wait, I am a somebody. Volunteering is the ultimate exercise in democracy. Your vote in elections once a year, but when you volunteer, you vote every day about the kind of country and church you want to serve and live in. Thomas Jefferson. Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get, but we make life by what we give. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. If you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. Volunteers are paid in six figures. S-M-I-L-E-S. Volunteers don't get paid, not because they're worthless, but because they're priceless. And volunteers do not necessarily have the time, but they have the heart. Doing more than you have to, because you want to, in a cause that you care and is more meaningful than yourself is the true definition of a volunteer. A 4-year-old child whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy just said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." I couldn't put in words any more than what it means to volunteer for this church, Christ Church, our church, than what that little boy did. Amen and amen.